Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Wednesday, May 1st, and this is your FT News Briefing. Amazon's cloud computing division continues to put up big numbers, and private equity is going green. Well, it's kind of going green. Plus, car companies are looking to China to stay competitive.
This is an existential moment for every car maker in the industry, Western or Chinese.
I'm Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day. Amazon reported quarterly earnings yesterday and, once again, impressed investors. The company's cloud computing division, Amazon Web Services, really did a lot of the heavy lifting here. Its sales rose 17% last quarter, which was way ahead of forecasts. CEO Andy Jassy said that demand was up for cloud computing services, and he highlighted the company's generative artificial intelligence products. It wasn't all sunshine and roses, though. Amazon's forecasting lower net sales numbers for the current quarter compared to a year ago. Still, the company's stock rose as much as 6.5% after the bell. The tech giant is up 17% so far this year. Ask almost any climate scientist, and they'll tell you that the transition to cleaner energy is both crucial and frustratingly slow. And a big reason the transition is so slow is that it is incredibly expensive. But private capital might be the answer to that. The FT's Jamie Smith joins me now to talk about how private equity groups can help us go green. Hey, Jamie.
Hi, Mark.
All right, so when we're talking about the green transition, what role is private equity expected to play in it?
Well, I think when we talk about, you know, the push into green energy, moving from an economy which is mainly based in fossil fuels, we're really talking about huge investment. And that's really the role that private equity is expected to play in this. The International Energy Agency forecasts that the world's going to need to spend up to $120 trillion by 2050 to meet the goals and targets within the Paris Agreement. This is an incredible amount of money, and governments and publicly listed energy companies and other publicly facing investors simply don't have enough to achieve this.
Yeah, and governments and public entities are usually the ones driving the green transition. So what is the landscape looking like?
What we've seen over the past year or two is a growing number of private equity companies setting up climate or green transition funds to really try and take advantage of this boom in green energy and low carbon technologies that we're seeing at the minute. One company, for example, KKR, is raising a $7 billion climate fund. One interesting thing that happened over the last month is that KKR appointed the former Shell boss, Ben Van Beurden, to advise on their climate fund. And he was the executive who set Shell on a pathway to diversify into renewables. So we are seeing quite a lot of moves by big private equity groups to sort of move into this area.
What makes private equity so well suited for raising capital for the green transition?
I think one thing that makes them well suited to going into this space is that green energy investments can be very risky. These are new technologies. They're also very heavily dependent on government policies. This creates quite a lot of risk, and PE is well used to looking and taking risks in these areas. And also, private equity can have a longer time horizon. You know, it doesn't have to get a return within a couple of years. It can set a longer time horizon, maybe 7 years, 10 years, to give it a bit more flexibility. It's also been invested in the energy sector, you know, for many decades. So for these reasons, I think PE firms could play a really important role in the transition.
So you mentioned that PE is already investing in utilities, energy. What does that look like exactly?
So private equity has been a massive investor in fossil fuels over the last two decades. One of the most visible examples of that is the liquefied natural gas sector. So they are accused by green campaigners of talking out of both sides of their mouth. One climate fund may be investing in renewables, carbon capture, storage, hydrogen, but then another fund, an infrastructure fund, may be involved in, you know, a coal plant. So they are deeply critical of some private equity funds because of that.
So Jamie, do you think that private equity is going to keep investing in green energies?
I think certainly there's going to be continued demand for money from private equity. However, ultimately, PE depends on making high returns in the market. And ultimately, PE firms are a little bit unsure of the returns that they can make out of these companies yet. What I think will be really important is that they begin to show good returns over the next couple of years, and that government policies remain stable. There's still incentives to try and help some of these new technologies actually make money.
Jamie Smith is the FT's US Energy Editor. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks, Mark. It was great to be here.
The UK Financial Conduct Authority announced a plan earlier this year to name and to shame. Basically, they'll disclose companies that are under investigation much sooner than they have in the past. But Chancellor Jeremy Hunt recently said he's not a huge fan of the plan, and he hopes that the FCA rethinks its decision, saying the move could hurt growth. Now, this is a big deal because chancellors usually don't intervene with the FCA's policies. And Hunt is far from the only one criticizing the move. Other members of the government have lashed out against the regulator, too. Now, the FCA said the plans would bring it into line with several other UK regulators, including the Competition and Markets Authority and Ofcom. Tesla chief executive Elon Musk was in China over the weekend and struck a deal with Baidu. Tesla will use the Chinese tech group's navigation and mapping services in its self-driving cars. The deal will help the U.S. electric car maker get closer to winning a share of the world's largest car market. It's not just Tesla, though. Other car makers have also recognized the importance of Chinese drivers. Ed White covers China for the FT, and he joins me now. Hi, Ed.
Hi.
All right, Ed, so just tell me more about the agreement between Tesla and Baidu.
So to operate what are essentially the early stages of a self-driving car in China, Tesla needed to come up with an agreement with one of 20 compliant or registered Chinese data and navigation and mapping suppliers. And so Baidu was one of those suppliers. This is a big deal because it means that they are going to be clearing a regulatory hurdle, clearing really a systems hurdle from Tesla's point of view as well, which will be the first step towards a sort of self-driving or autonomous driving capability on the roads in China.
Okay, so how does this agreement reflect what's going on in China's car market? You've got this foreign car company, Tesla, coming in and using Chinese technology. What's the bigger takeaway here, Ed?
So this is now a really, really important and quite historic shift that we're now seeing in the Chinese car market, which is foreign car makers from Tesla, from Volkswagen, and many, many others, they are all realizing that to win and to compete in the Chinese market, they are going to need to use Chinese technology. That's Chinese software and Chinese hardware. And that's not just to be compliant or to appeal to Chinese customers, but that is to compete and to be able to at least offer the same services, if not better services, than the Chinese rivals, companies like BYD. What we're really seeing in the global car industry is a separation, a split between China and really the rest of the world at this stage. The Chinese market is embracing new technologies, including the fundamental sort of shift from internal combustion engine cars to electric vehicles. And that shift in China is happening much faster.
So this sounds great if you are a car maker and you're trying to get a foothold in China, but I have to assume there are risks.
So to analysts on the ground and to people inside the industry as well, we're really heading into uncharted territory because if the Chinese cars, the cars that are going to be on Chinese roads, if the technology here is better than what is in other countries, that leaves foreign car makers with a real quandary because if they're making technology and partnering with Chinese companies for technology for the Chinese market, if that technology is superior, do they then have to start to think, how do we get this technology back onto cars and on roads in Europe and in the US? So that's a real problem, because governments and regulators in the US and in Europe and in other countries are very wary about Chinese technology, especially as it relates to connected electronic devices, including cars. So you quite quickly get into kind of national security and economic security questions from this industry.
Yeah, which are already having a pretty big impact on a number of companies. I think of TikTok, the Chinese social media app, which the US government is already trying to ban. And if they're giving a social media app from China a hard time, I doubt they're going to be okay with Chinese driving technology on American roads. So what can we really then expect from car makers given these risks?
One quote that we had from a Chinese auto executive, basically everything has changed. For many years now, European and American companies could come to China, sell products that were basically self-evidently superior, both on a technology, a design, and a sort of quality front. That is just not the case anymore. And the question is, can companies survive in China, which is for many foreign brands their most important market? Or do you sit on the sidelines and hope that in the future you're going to make a different technology bet that consumers might like, all the while you're going to have to be protected from a big wave of Chinese companies coming onto your home patch as well?
Yeah, it's kind of a rock and a hard place for these companies. Ed White covers China for the FT. Thanks for the conversation, Ed.
Thank you for having me.
You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com for free when you click the links in our show notes. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Hi, this is Matt.
And Sean.
From Two Black Guys.
With good credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Here at Bellingcat, we get to the bottom of things. From a global crisis to an underreported event, we find the facts using publicly available tools and resources, uncovering what is hidden on and below the surface. We connect the dots using social media posts, satellite images, and public records, and empower others to do the same by sharing how we do it. The ability to do so is only made possible by our readers, supporters, and community members. Care to join us? Learn how at bellingcat.com.